Take your Bible with me this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 this morning. We've been going through the book of Genesis. We come to chapter 3. We'll begin reading this morning at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning as we open up the very words of God. And Lord, we know and are sure that this is your word. These are the holy scriptures that you have given to us, absolutely pure and perfect, that we might know thee, the true God, and eternal life through thy Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would bring forth your word to us, Lord, that we might hear, not only with ears, but with hearts, that your will would be accomplished through the preaching of your word this morning by thy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, by far, this is New England is probably the most beautiful place to be in right now. My brother lives out in San Diego, and I tell you what, it's just, must just be boring out there. I mean, the landscape. It's a lot going on, but you know, you some of these other states, don't you feel bad for them? I mean, Florida. It's just the same year round. How boring. Amen. Same with San Diego. It's just the same year round. But you know, you come to Connecticut, you come to New England, and this is probably by far my favorite time of year. For the color and the change and the foliage. And you know, I love to. In fact, right now, I don't usually take the main roads this time of year. I don't go down Route 85. I'll go down Butlertown Road and Lakes Pond Road or Oil Mill Road. I go the back roads because I don't just want to see Route 85. I want to see the wonder of God's handiwork in nature. And you know, it's amazing because you'll be driving down a road and by the way, there's now a beautiful reason to go down by the mall. And it's not for the mall, but it's for the color. Have you ever noticed that on the side where Best Buy is and everything, that beautiful maple tree on the side of the road that has just the most brilliant colors? Boy, it all of a sudden makes the mall worth going by. Notice I said, didn't say worth going to. Worth going by. I stopped the other day, and if you noticed, I have an Instagram account, but if you noticed the other day, I put a picture of a beautiful, brilliant red and orange maple tree. But I took it from the point of looking up from beneath the tree. That's because that's that tree on Route 85. And the only way you could see the beauty in it was not if you look straight on, because then you got Best Buy behind it, or you got 85 behind it, or you got the power lines behind it. But if you look straight up from beneath it, you just see the brilliance and the glory and the brightness of it. And I love driving down the back roads, because you'll be driving down a back road and you'll just see the road, the trees, and all of a sudden you come around a corner, and then there's this bright tree. And usually in the beginning of fall, it's the swamp maples that are begin with the red color. But now you come to this time of year, and the sugar maples are just starting to turn that brilliant color. Well, you know, when you read Genesis 3, there's a lot of things that we see in Genesis chapter 3. As we read those first few verses, we see the serpent, we see the devil tempting Eve. We see in Genesis chapter 3 that Eve is deceived. Adam transgresses and they sin and they take and they eat of that fruit that God had forbidden them from eating. And we see the consequences. We could look further down in Genesis chapter 3. We could see the consequences in verse 12 down through verse 11 down through verse number 19. We can see the judgment of sin. But you know, over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, and you don't have to turn there, Jesus has died on the cross. He's been buried. He's risen from the grave. And he's walking down a road. And there's two disciples there. And they are walking along. And he catches up with them and he begins to talk to them. And later on, they would say, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" While he talked with us, by the way, while he opened up the scriptures. And they said, "Our hearts burned within us." Because Jesus Christ, the Savior, the resurrected Christ, began to speak with them. But what did he speak to them about? Well, in Luke chapter 24, verse number 27, it says, he opened up the scriptures, beginning at Moses, and spoke to them all things that pertained to himself. And when we read Genesis chapter 3, we can focus on the temptation, we can focus on the sin, we can focus on the judgment, but you know what God wants us to focus on? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He wants us to see himself, and he wants us to see the magnitude and the magnificence of the very Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so this morning, we read verses 1 through 6, but that's not where our text is from this morning. Because when you stop and consider, have you ever stopped to think about what if the scripture ended at verse number 6? She took the fruit thereof, she did eat, she gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. What if that was the end of the story? What if that was the end of Scripture? What if it didn't go any further than that? We'd be without hope. But you come down to verse number 8. And all of a sudden, you see something. And what do you see? Like Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus. Or Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace he is saved. And this morning, I want us to look in Genesis chapter 3, but we're just going to take time to look at that one brilliant tree. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And as we look at it, as we look at Genesis chapter 3, we're really going to just, from the scripture, point out very clearly how it's Jesus Christ that makes a difference. Because what a difference we see in Genesis chapter 3. But what is that difference That difference is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's Jesus Christ that makes a difference in a person's life. It's Jesus Christ that makes a difference. Nothing else. Because as it says in Acts chapter 4, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so this morning I want us to see in Genesis chapter 3, I want us to really see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see the difference the Lord Jesus Christ makes. You know, we're going to start in verse number 8. Satan has tempted Eve. They've sinned. They've disobeyed God. And now they're separated from God. They're separated from the Lord. And in verse number 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Just stop and consider that for a moment. My first point is this. What a contrast. What a world of difference we see in that one verse, where sin has entered the world. And there's a contrast. You know, when I used to really be involved in landscape construction, there was a thought process behind a lot of what we did. And when we went to a home, we knew that if it was a home where the landscaping already existed and we were going to do something, we knew that we were going to make a difference. We were going to change things. But we tried to change it subtly so that there would be a change, but it wouldn't be so shocking. Because you could do what the customer wanted, and they could come home and they could be shocked. And then it didn't go well. So you knew that you had to make the changes that they wanted to be made, but you had to do it subtly. But you know, in Genesis chapter 3, there's no subtle change. There's a stark change here. I mean, there's a change that has taken place that is so extreme. What a world of difference we see here in this first thing. We see a contrast, because in verse number 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Just stop and consider where they were. They were in the Garden of Eden. There's no place on this earth right now because of the curse of sin. There's no place as beautiful as New England is, as beautiful as the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Take the most beautiful spot in all of the United States or of all the world, and it can't compare with where they were. But for them, it wasn't a beautiful place anymore. Because of sin, this beautiful place had all of a sudden become a dreadful place. Stop and consider for a moment. Look what it says down in verse number 10. Adam says, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. What was the difference? The difference was there was no longer a relationship with the Lord. And it made a world of difference. A place which was beautiful and just, I mean, amazing, had now become a place of terror and fear to the point where they hide amongst the trees of the garden. You know, that's how the world is for anybody without Christ right now. Oh, we could go to numerous passages of Scripture. Isaiah 57, it says, without Christ, the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up its mire, there is no rest. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, without hope.
without God. The psalmist put it this way.
The psalmist said it was it's a horrible pit. It's a horrible pit. You know the reason why the world today is in such despair and such fear and such dreadfulness is because they don't know the presence of Jesus Christ.
Because without that relationship in this world, it's nothing more than a pit.
But my declare to you kindly this morning is that it's not going to get better. But it's only going to get worse. Because without Jesus Christ,
without a relationship with Jesus Christ, not only is the world in which you live today a dreadful place, but whether you look at Luke chapter 16 or whether you read Revelation chapter 20, eternity is going to be even more dreadful.
Luke chapter 16, it's a place of torment. Revelation chapter 20, a lake of fire. And what had changed? What had changed in Genesis chapter 3? Sin. But now when you go back to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment, may I help you notice something this morning? It's not what the Lord intended, and it's not what the Lord desires for each and every person today. What the Lord intended and what the Lord desires, we see in the beginning of verse number 8. Look at the difference. Adam and Eve, they're now hiding amongst the trees. They're fearful and it's dreadful because of sin. But look at how beautiful it was and how beautiful the Lord wants it to be. And it can be because of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I mean, everything about that verse right there, everything about that phrase, they heard the voice of the garden walking, voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Everything about that statement right there is just absolute beauty. I mean, just look, they're in the garden. The Garden of Eden. And listen, the temperature is perfect. I know you're chilly right now, but it's all relative, isn't it? Right?
A couple months ago, we were hoping it would be this cool. Right? Turn on the air conditioners.
Now we're saying, get that wood furnace going, men. But anyways, a perfect place. Perfect environment in the cool of day. But more than that, they heard the voice of the Lord God. And notice, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. There was no running around. There's no rest, calmness, peace. But they heard the voice of the Lord God. The voice of the Lord. Because you know what the Lord, what his purpose, what his intent, you know what it is? To fellowship with them, to talk with them. John writes in 1 John chapter 1, and he writes about the fellowship. He says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, these things write that you might have fellowship with us. And that fellowship was with the Father, with the Son. And he says, these things write so that your joy may be full. The Bible says in Psalm 16 that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But what was the difference? The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ was in that garden, walking in that garden, desiring to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Oh, sin had separated them from that. But God's purpose, the Lord's purpose, was to walk with them, to talk with them. You know, that purpose has not changed. The Lord desires and wants that relationship with you today. Jesus said in John chapter 10, a thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He goes on in John chapter 10, he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I know them and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And it says, we also have access by this faith into this grace wherein we stand. You know, it's the Lord's desire this morning that He have a relationship with each and every one of us. A relationship where we know His presence, where He walks with us, He talks with us, we fellowship with Him, where we know the presence of His grace and His glory. But you know, the Lord not only wants that for today, but the Lord assures us that we can go from a place right now of knowing His grace through faith in Jesus Christ to seeing His glory for all eternity. Boy, take time to read Revelation 21, 22. As we sang this morning about just thinking about what it's going to be like. And as Pastor Donnie so aptly brought out, oh, the landscape's going to be beautiful. I mean, it's not going to be dirt roads, folks. In fact, it's not going to be churned up millings. It's not going to be pavement. Streets of gold. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom what it's going to be like? But all of that is not going to really capture our attention. What's going to capture our attention is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the brightness of His glory, the brightness of the glory of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be the brightness of all glory. And we're going to see Him face to face. And we're not going to read His word, but we are going to hear His voice. You know, people, you get these CDs and these tapes and these online Bibles and people, you know, so you can hear the scriptures. And there's these annotated readings? Is that how you say it? No one knows. All right. However, but they annotated, I don't know what the word is. But where they read expressively the scriptures. Someone help me out. What word am I looking for there? Annotated. All right. Thank you. I'm right. Okay. I got one right. Usually I make up a wrong word. But anyways. But you know, I listen to those and they try and express when the Lord speaks. They try and make, listen, no human voice can rightly express the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day we are going to see Him face to face. One day we're going to hear His voice. But you see, the difference is Jesus Christ. Sin had entered the world.
in this beautiful garden, because of the presence of the Lord, had all of a sudden become a dreadful, fearful place. That's not the way the Lord wants it to be in your life. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3. Because not only do we see the contrast, but you know what else we see in Genesis chapter 3? We see compassion. Compassion? Uh-huh. Genesis chapter 3, we see the love of Christ. We see the love of Christ in Genesis chapter 3 in verse number 9. The Lord God called unto Adam. And he said, where art thou? That's the compassion of the Lord, folks. Because Adam and Eve had sinned. And the Lord Jesus Christ could have justly and rightly just left them right there. Undone. Sinful. Without hope. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Here in his love, 1 John, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, or the full payment in all regards for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And you know what I see in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9? I see a compassionate Savior that did not leave Adam and Eve in that dreadful place without hope. Because it says the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, called unto Adam and said unto, where art thou? You know, you stop and think about what, once again, we get an extreme difference here, because when you look at it from the perspective of Adam and Eve, what were they doing? Exactly. Hiding. Can you imagine a game of hide and seek? Can you imagine? You know, I know that probably when I was a child, I would do this, and there's probably some here that would. You look back and you say, yeah, I did that too. Where everybody hides and you're the one that's supposed to go seek. And so you count. And then you just go in and have a snack and sit around, and they're all out there hiding, and the game goes on and on and on because you're not seeking. Right? Aren't you glad that's not the way this took place? They were hiding. Look at in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's what they had done. They'd gone their own way. They turned to their own way. In fact, if you turn over to Romans chapter 3, in Romans chapter 3 for a moment, not only does the Bible say that all have sinned, but look at verse number 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And this is where Adam and Eve were at. They've sinned. They're separated from the Lord. They're hiding from the presence of the Lord. In the midst of the garden, amongst the trees of the garden, they're hiding from the presence of the Lord. They're not seeking the Lord. but they're hiding from the presence of the Lord. But here's the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It says, the Lord God called unto Adam. You know why? Well, turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Because while they were hiding, the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking. Luke chapter 19. And verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus Christ that day in the garden call unto Adam? Because he was seeking Adam out. You're saying, did he not know? Oh, he knew. He knew where he was. He knew the condition he was in. But he was seeking to save. In fact, if you just go back a few passages, go back to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But in Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a parable of himself. What man, verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment in that garden, was seeking Adam. So that he could save his soul. That's why in Hebrews chapter 9 it says, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Oh, Paul would say this, the apostle Paul would say, he loved me and he gave himself for me. But I'm thankful this morning that when we open up Genesis chapter 3, we don't see a story that stops at the place where they sinned. We don't see a story, we don't see an account that leaves them hiding in fear in the garden, undone, without hope. But we see a Savior seeking sinful man. And that's our Savior who came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And when you turn back to Genesis chapter 3, if we might, we see just one more thing this morning. In Genesis chapter 3, we can see the Savior, Jesus Christ. We can see that makes a world of difference. We can see Jesus Christ, that he's seeking to save souls. He's still seeking to save souls. But I want you to see also the change that Jesus Christ made. The change that Jesus Christ can make in your life. The change that only Jesus Christ makes. That you and I can't make ourselves. That philosophy and religion can't make. But Jesus Christ can. We see the contrast. We see the compassion. But now let's look at the change. In Genesis chapter 3. To understand, look at verse number verse number 7. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. So they tried to cover by their own making. They tried to cover their sin. But you know that which they made. You know what the Bible says about it? Well, go to Isaiah chapter 64. They tried. But you know what Isaiah chapter 64 does? Isaiah 64 says something so important to understand. Because many folks try. Well, I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to live a religious life. Well intentions, but failing. Because Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6 says this, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And so we could rightly say that when you look at Genesis chapter 3 and Adam and Eve, they try and they take leaves and they try and make aprons. You know what the Lord says? You might think it's a beautiful garment, but it's just a filthy rag. Just a filthy rag. Because you and I cannot cleanse ourselves from sin. You and I cannot make the change. Only Jesus Christ can. And what a change. What a change. Go to Genesis chapter 3 again. Look down at verse number. Look down at verse number 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Oh, my friend, here's the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. Here's the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. They tried to clothe themselves in the rags that they had made. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the Lord Jesus Christ instead clothes them with a robe of righteousness. What a difference. Hey, you hear that phrase, you know, from rags to riches. Oh no, salvation is from rags to robes. And it's not the robe that you made. That robe's just a filthy rag. It's the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ would take an animal and he would shed the blood of that animal. And then he would make a garment to cover them and clothe them with. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews chapter 9. But 1 John chapter 1 says this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 Peter, we're redeemed with the precious blood of a lamb. Precious blood of his Son, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he paid for your sin. He took upon himself your sin so that with his precious blood, the payment could be made for your sin. And your sins could be washed in that blood and you would be clean as white as snow. You know, Zechariah chapter 3, an interesting passage of scripture, Zechariah, if you can find it. It's right before Malachi. Zechariah. Just go to Matthew and turn back a little bit. But look at Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's what salvation is all about. That the Lord Jesus Christ plucks us out of the fire. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him, and said unto him, Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. You know, if we were to turn over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Oh, it's right after that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about seeking that one sheep that's gone astray till he finds it. Well, the prodigal son has gone off and he's gone into the world and he's lived his life in a riotous life. And when he comes to his senses, he says, I'll return to my father. He comes back to his father's house and he says, I'm not worthy to even be called one of your servants. The father stands there with open arms and embraces him and welcomes him. And then the father says this. He says, Take away those filthy garments and put on him a beautiful robe. Because my son was lost and now he is found. Oh, my friend, listen to me this morning. Only Jesus Christ can take away the filth of sin and give you a robe of righteousness, his righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, Genesis chapter 3, we can look and study it, and we can see the temptation, we can see the sin, we can see Satan, we can see the judgment. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to see himself. And yes, all have sinned. And yes, the wages of sin is death. And yes, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love with he saved us, so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into this world so that you might be saved through him. Without Jesus Christ, this world is a dreadful place, and eternity is a fearful place of torment. But Jesus Christ can make the difference. Jesus Christ wants to make the difference. He did the work on Calvary's cross. One day, one time, one moment, one act for all. By one man's sin, entered in the world. By one man, Jesus Christ, came righteousness. Came righteousness. The Bible says when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves their soul. Not because of anything that they've done, but all because of what Jesus Christ did. And so when you look at Genesis chapter 3, realize, yes, sin did come in the world. Yes, we have all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But understand and believe this. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if this morning a person would trust in Jesus Christ, understand they've sinned against God, understand that sin brings judgment just as it did in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus Christ didn't avoid sin. He didn't avoid judgment. He confronted sin. He dealt with sin. And he dealt with your sin on the cross of Calvary. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm so thankful this morning that Genesis chapter 3 doesn't stop at verse number 6. But it goes on to speak of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Paul would write this in Galatians chapter 2. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. Christ that liveth in me. There's the difference. And he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ loved you. Oh, he still loves you. And he gave himself for you so that you wouldn't have to perish, but that you could have eternal life. So my question this morning is this. Have you been reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, Pastor, how do I do that? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You understand and you admit before God, I've sinned. There's judgment. But I believe Jesus Christ died for me, was buried and rose again. Please, God, forgive me. Save my soul. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. Oh, it's not the words that you say. It's faith in Jesus Christ. But if you pray and you just say, Lord, dear God, I've sinned. But I understand today Jesus Christ died for me. Please save my soul. God has promised whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But may I also say this in closing. That for everyone that knows Jesus Christ their Savior, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14 says this. The love of Christ constraineth us. For if we believe and understand that one man died for all, that Jesus Christ died for all, that it should be our desire, our purpose also, to seek the lost and tell them about Jesus Christ. He's given unto us the ministry and the word of reconciliation. He's given unto us the privilege, the responsibility of telling others that Jesus Christ does save.
So this world in which we live,
sure, it's a mess. It sure is a mess. But you know what? It can be a beautiful place when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let's pray.